Welcome back to Two Gals. Today we are going to be talking about nutrition. If you have any questions on what is the new requirements for nutrition, or what are they recommending, this is going to be the episode for you. Before we get started, Dr. Jess, what is in your glass?
I am working on this is my second glass of the day. I'm very proud of myself. I've finished one. Yes. So there's more to come. So I've got my infused water. It's got cucumber, lemon, ginger, and mint. It's like once I found the recipe and I like it, I just kind of rinse repeat every week. So anyway, it's tasty and hydrating. So Dr. Bobby, what's in your glass?
I have just plain old water in my crunchy tumbler. If you're ever looking for a great skincare, this is my favorite. But plain old water is mine.
Awesome. And before we do introductions for our guest, Christine, first, Christine, what's in your glass?
Hi, I am currently drinking some lime flavored seltzer water.
Ooh,
Listen to
that is
me.
one of my favorites as
Yes.
well. Absolutely. Yeah.
I
Do
love
you do the
lime.
seltzer thing at home with like the little thing that you put it in and carbonate it, or do you like pour it?
I have a beverage fridge with some cans of different flavors of seltzer water. But
Nice.
truth be told, when I am thirsty or I want something that tastes really good, I will usually go to something similar to what you are doing, Dr. Jess. Having some sliced fruits, vegetables, or even flavorful herbs, not only does it make the water taste better, but it adds a few nutrients as well. So you're doing your body good.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, and I've gotten it's funny, 'cause, social media is a funny thing. So I've gotten kind of knocked for this, right? Because people are like, oh, like you might as well just eat cucumber and not infuse it with water. It's like, I never said not to eat cucumber. Like, that was not the intention.
You can always do both.
Right, like I still eat salad and I drink infused water. So it's just kind of funny how it's like, oh, I'm sorry if that was misunderstood. But yeah, no, this is literally just for the hydrating part. Why not? So
Add a little
anyway,
flavor.
Christine. Tell us a little bit about you. Like, who are you? What's your story?
Well, I am a registered dietitian nutritionist in Naperville, Illinois, which is a far western suburb of Chicago. I have had a very interesting career as a nutrition communications consultant. I have taught at the college level. I have worked with brands. I've done corporate consulting, wellness type programs. I've done freelance writing. I've done a lot of public speaking, just a bunch of other things. I've also been a very active volunteer with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Probably my greatest achievement, though, is the fact that I have three grown children and they have produced six and soon to be eight grandchildren. There's a set of twins coming in the spring. So I'm very proud of my family and, family is everything to me.
I love
I
that.
have to say, in reading kind of your biogra or your biography that you sent, one thing that really stuck out to me, and if you're from the mid, or if you're from Chicago, you know this, is that you were on Oprah
I was on Oprah. That was a long time ago. It was March of
Winfrey
1997. And guess what the topic was? And you would not have any way of knowing this, I don't think. It was about hydration. So
Nice.
interesting. One of the mentions, I'm trying to remember if this was during the show or if it was during a commercial break, but Oprah stated that she doesn't like the taste of plain water. And it's because when she was growing up, very, very poor, I believe it was in Mississippi, but she had to go to the well and fetch the water for the family. This is when she was a child. And so it's something that she just doesn't care for. So she always needs to have something, flavoring her water.
Interesting.
That's awesome. So like We like part of our podcast is we love interviewing other people that know more than we do about things. And so it's just knowing that background, it's just, we just thank you in advance, just for real, for like being willing to share your knowledge and your information.
My pleasure.
Nutrition is something that is, it's just so easy to misunderstand it and to undervalue its role that it plays in our lives, in our society, in our culture. And Dr. Byman and I just, we love sharing that information with others because, I mean, this is like, you know, our country is where people are dying of preventable illnesses, and it really doesn't need to happen. And through knowledge, we can help to help people just make choices that are going to help improve their health and lives. So it's really, really beneficial. So that being said, nutritional advice, it can be so hard to understand. Like, it's changing. It's like, it's this fad and then that fad and then that fad. And it's really easy, I think, to kind of go down these rabbit holes and have a hard time understanding who does have information that is like kind of that like really actually healthy, scientifically based information, right? So as far as like changes you've seen in your career, what has like this cycle looked like?
Well, there has been, well, going back to when I was in college studying to be a dietitian, at that time, there was very little recognition of the role of what you eat, your nutritional status in your overall health, whether it's current health versus, or even long-term health. But back in the, you know, over the decades, there was such an emphasis on low fat. And now we know that low fat is not where it's at. It's consuming healthy fats. And another big change, swing, is carbohydrates. For a number of years, back in the 80s, early 90s, it was all about low carbs, eat low carbs, eat low sugar. And now we know that, you know, there's better carbs, you know, better for you carbs and carbs that you should stay away from. So definitely carbohydrates are important. Carbohydrates are your body's main energy source. So if you are completely eliminating, which is really virtually impossible to do, but cutting way, way back on your carbohydrates, you're not going to have the energy that you want and need on a day-to-day basis to get the things done that you want to do. A third sea change is single nutrient foods. For so many years, even today in the media, you'll see clickbait type articles, best foods for this nutrient or worst foods for, you know, take your pick. And rather than singling out, let's say, oh, you know, what's the best food for potassium, bananas or potatoes? Instead of, you know, saying things like that, the emphasis really is on your overall dietary pattern. So in other words, don't worry so much about including, oh, I have to have berries for my brain and I have to have, you know, again, bananas for potassium and I have to have dairy milk for calcium. When you eat an overall well-balanced diet, which can be done, it's not that hard. It's you have to just tweak some things and just get into better habits. That overall dietary pattern can give you the nutrients that you need without having to obsess over these things and without spending an arm and a leg either. And then so just to give you a little tip, there was a study that came out not long ago. It might have been last year. And it studied plant foods. And the gist of the research is that people who eat 30 different plant foods over the course of a week are healthier. So
that makes sense, right? Each has its own thing that it brings.
We humans are programmed to eat a variety of foods. That's why, by the way, when you go to, say, Easter brunch or you're at a buffet of some sort, you want to taste a little bit of everything, even if it's three different forms of pasta, three different shapes of pasta. You want a little bit of everything, you know. So we're programmed for variety because that's how Mother Nature designed us to get the nutrients that we need. So if you just, you know, very simple math, take 30 and divide by 7 days a week, that's, you know, what, 4.5 different plant foods in a day. So, and then divide it by, say, three meals or three meals and a snack or two, you could turn it into a game. You could turn it into a competition by yourself. And you can, you know, put a note on your phone or just, you know, take a little a pen, pencil and paper and just jot down the different things that you're eating and add the numbers up. And maybe the first week you fall well short of 30. Maybe you only get 10. That's okay. Then the next week you could maybe do 15 and go from there.
I love that. It's a number. Sometimes, you know, having that physical goal of like a number to achieve is awesome. And then, you know, Dr. Jess and I are big about small, sustainable steps. So, you know, if you find you're only eating 10, don't try to hit 30 the next week, you know, like try adding one a day or adding like two, you know, the week and kind of going from there. So I love that, having a number.
And then one other something that we're is that's still evolving, and that is the role of the microbiome. And not everybody knows what that means, but it's the diversity of bacteria that lives within our digestive tract, lives within our gut. And we now know that a healthy microbiome can affect not only your physical health, but your mental health, your mood. And it's, you can eat a variety of, again, plant foods, as many unprocessed foods as you can, and that will help to diversify your microbiome. They found that, well, and actually, let me just think, go back to something. A few weeks ago, I had a strep infection. And you know, these things happen. And I was given an antibiotic. And after I was done, I realized, oh my gosh, I have really, killed not only the bad bacteria in my body, but the good bacteria in my body. So the next time I went to the grocery store, I picked up a big container of real good yogurt with active cultures. And I also picked up some sauerkraut, which not everybody likes, but sauerkraut, if it's the refrigerated kind, not the canned kind, but the refrigerated kind, has a lot of active cultures. And so I consumed that, and hopefully my digestive tract is building itself up with all those good bacteria to help me with my physical and mental health.
Yeah, I think there's more information coming out that is in a sustainable way of talking about fermented foods and what are they, what does that look like, and how can that actually help us? Because it sounds like fermented, but really, like, the when you really consider the microbiome of like all of these, like, I mean, there's this vast variety of you know, gut bacteria that really plays this huge role in how your body functions. And so feeding that appropriately is really only helpful, so yes. like kombucha and sauerkraut and like, what are some other things that you would ferment that you could buy or easily do?
Yeah, off the top of my head, tempeh is one. Boy, I'm taking a, I've got miso. Isn't miso paste? Isn't that fermented? I think it is.
It might be.
But a lot of the Asian foods are.
Like kimchi.
Yes, kimchi. Yes.
Yeah. One of my neighbors is really into fermenting. And so I benefit because I get the taste test when she's like, I don't know, is it good yet? And I'm like, I'll eat it. And so like she perfects it, and then I just get the taste test along the way, and then she shows me how to make it.
How fun. That's great.
Yeah, but it's really, like, it's not hard, but you do have to follow some steps if you're fermenting on your own versus, you know, buying something that's already done, which is totally fine. Either works. I mean, you can buy kombucha, you know, at the store or at a farmer's market, or you can actually make it, and it's really not hard at all, which is great. You just got to get that SCOBY, you know, hopefully someone can gift it to you. I've never bought one online, but yeah.
What is tempeh you mentioned?
Tempeh?
What is tempeh?
It is, I think it's a fermented soybean paste.
I'm almost positive that it's a soy-based product.
Yeah, it's soy. And I think it's,
yeah.
But it's, it apparently, I don't think I have ever
yeah,
had
soy.
it myself. It apparently is an acquired taste. I believe it is rather strong and
Got a
fanatic.
nuttier flavor to it than
Could
like
be.
tofu is very, very mild. Like it
Bland,
needs help.
yes.
In the dish.
Yes.
It's not a
Yes.
standalone. You know, like,
Right.
oh, I'm having tofu, right? And that's soy based. Tempeh has a much different flavor, but it's like nuttier. You can buy it in the refrigerated section of the grocery store. And so it's a great alternative. You just chop it up, put it in a stir fry. Again, not a standalone. I wouldn't say that I would just cook tempeh. And be like, oh, here's my main dish. But tempeh on a fork with some broccoli or something. All day.
Okay.
Now, my husband doesn't love it. It's not his favorite, you know? He'll eat it.
I hear you. I have a husband who doesn't love a lot of things that I make. Oh, well.
Yeah.
It's good for you. Eat it.
Yeah, you can put in a taco with some, like, you know, like some homemade coleslaw or something like that on top. And, you know, a kind of some of that like nuttier flavor with like a, you know, like I like making homemade coleslaw with like some good apple cider vinegar in it. I think they're fantastic, but, you know, yeah. Awesome. So yeah. So the fermented foods, I think I've been learning more about it recently via my neighbor who's really gotten into it, and I appreciate her journey, and I love like being along on the ride with her, which is very fun. So anyway, when it comes to, so, you know, we're talking about like these big picture things that like, so fat's not bad. Carbs aren't bad. Sugar's not necessarily, like, never necessarily bad, right? There's good foods and bad foods in every category. But as far as like when we get down into like protein, right? And we're trying to break down these concepts of how do I consume protein in a way that is a healthy manner for me? And what does that kind of look like? And it might look different for everybody.
Right. And you know, the amount of protein that you need is reflective of the stage of life where you are. So women who are expecting or they're nursing, little babies, young children, teenagers, they're growing. And so they need more protein and a very high quality protein at all times. Once you're grown, you know, you still need protein. It's a good idea to divide it up approximately equally between your three meals. And a lot of times people will ask me, what's a healthy snack? Well, you want to make sure you have a protein with your snack and also a healthy fat. A plant-forward diet or plant-centered diet is what most people, you know, do best with and from a health point of view. So obtaining at least some of your protein from plants such as beans and peas and even nuts is a great idea. So it's good for the environment. It's also good for your body. It's less expensive. And don't worry, you know, back, say, 40, 50 years ago, there was a lot of concern about complete versus incomplete proteins. But even if they're plant foods and they're not, you know, 100% complete proteins, other foods that you eat in your day will provide the essential amino acids to complete those proteins. So plant proteins. So for example, yesterday I made soup with beans, and it was actually a chicken soup. So I had some leftover chicken, and I added some beans. And so it was nice and chunky. And so we got protein and fiber from the beans, and then protein also from the chicken. So then you've got your protein from things like eggs. And an egg is considered a complete, like a perfect protein. It's got all the, and it's got healthy fats. It's got vitamins, minerals, and even some antioxidants, especially if you eat the entire egg, you know, including the yolk. If you are eating exclusively egg white omelets, which over the years, certain people have been recommending, you're really missing out on most of the good nutrition of an egg. And then you've got your fish and seafood, you've got your poultry, in addition to chicken, which of course everybody enjoys on a regular basis. Don't forget turkey, which is inexpensive and very delicious. It's not just for Thanksgiving. And then you start getting into your red meats, pork, lamb, and beef. So when you're eating red meats, you want to eat, of course, the leanest versions that you can as possible. Because so when we were talking about fats, it's the fats and oils, plant sources of fats and oils are your best ones. Also fats and oils from fish, fatty fish, such as salmon, anchovies, sardines. But then when you start getting into the fats from meat, those are highly saturated, and they can help raise your LDL cholesterol, which is the bad kind, you're lousy, if you will. And you know, most of us, if you think about it, it's nice to have a variety of protein foods in your diet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in general, just it's not as boring when you have variety, you know, because that's what it comes down to. Sometimes it's like, eating healthy is like the worst. It's so boring. I'm like, I don't think it has to be. Like, I think it's just kind of how you approach it. Whether it's like, you know, you make a sauce out of like avocado, and then you put that on top of something, and that'll cream it up and give it some different flavor and kind of balance some of the other flavors. Like, there's ways that you can increase diversity of what you're intaking and improve flavor. So it can stay fun. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, food doesn't have to be fun, but it does have to taste delicious, because that's why you're going to be eating it and enjoying it. But, you know, you've touched on something that we've already been talking about. And, you know, let me just put an exclamation point on it. And that is to mix things up, to eat a variety of foods. So not only a variety of plant foods, but a variety of protein foods. And that will help ensure that you will be getting the nutrients that your body needs.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like a lot of us Americans, and I'm going to include my family in this. I know Dr. Jess's family is more vegetarian, vegan. My family is the meat and potatoes, and every meal needs to be meat and potatoes. I'm working on widening their horizons, but that is a lot of work when they're 70 years old and all they want is meat. Mm-hmm. But just like, lost my train of thought. But just trying other sources of protein. I've been recently trying like chickpeas, you know, for some protein, and just adding all that in, and making it fun and a variety of flavors through there.
So chickpeas, and then you can turn some of those cooked chickpeas into hummus. Mm-hmm. And who doesn't love hummus?
Right. Especially like when you can add so much flavor to hummus, like if you don't like just the chickpeas and tahini with a little bit of oil, I mean, there's so much you can add to that, roasted red peppers and any other flavor that you really, really like, you can add it in. And then now even your hummus doesn't get boring, or like a purple sweet potato that's roasted and then like blend that in with your hummus. Oh my gosh.
Really? That's news to me. I need to try that. That's a great idea.
Good. Like if you're already roasting stuff, put some of that in and just mix it all up.
How purpley does it get? Does it look pretty purple?
It's like a light purple, because it's like a deep purple from the sweet potato, right? And then the hummus is like kind of that light tanny color. And so then you blend the two. Yeah. And so it makes like a light purple. And when I say like you can make eating fun, right? Like eating purple food is like kind of fun.
You know? Well, and And hummus, no matter what the color, is a nice substitute as a sandwich spread instead of, say, mayonnaise.
Right. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great idea.
Do like a little toast, you know, like, and, you know, if you can, maybe even consider the type of bread you're doing, you know, spread that on, put some greens,
absolutely.
Tomatoes, sprouts. And now you're starting to get like, so when we're talking about like that 30 different foods over the course of the week, I mean, if you've got chickpeas with your tahini, with your sweet potato, right?
And then you there's put three sprouts, right there.
Right. Yeah. Just right there. And just in your hummus. Then you add sprouts, tomato, maybe some avocado and lettuce, right? And I mean, like just in one sandwich, it's like, oh, now I can see where this would like start
there
to work.
There we go.
Yeah. Or like
you can get the hashtags or the, you know, the little hash marks, 1, 2, 3, but you've got about six, maybe six there.
Yeah. So, or like, and when you're doing a smoothie, like you can kind of diversify what you're putting in that smoothie to get a bunch of different things in and blend it. And so then it's like not nearly so overwhelming. We do smoothies every morning, mainly because I know we can get a bunch of nutrients packed into one cup. The whole family drinks smoothies for breakfast. And it's like, I know we're all starting off the day with like a good slam dunk with like we're going to get brains working. You know, mine needs to work. My kids need to work. My husband's brain needs to work. So like fuel it, you know, checking those boxes. Awesome.
Well, that's a great idea.
So as far as like, so, you know, it can feel overwhelming. So I want 30 different nutrients and I want healthy fats and I want healthy proteins and I want all this stuff. And so I'm going to go to the grocery store and I'm going to buy way too much, right? I have done this before, you know, and like all of a sudden now you're like, now I feel wasteful. And it's like, you know, we really only need this much for this recipe or this much for this recipe. So like, what are steps that we can do to just overall reduce food waste?
Well, I'm glad that you brought up this topic. It is really important. Today, it's always been important. Families are feeling a financial pinch when they go to the grocery store these days,
for
or
sure.
If they order from a delivery service or order online or even going out to eat. Prices have gone up since the pandemic and something like 10% a year. I don't think this year so far, but you know, other prices in other categories have gone down, not food prices. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's been a lot of finger pointing about corporate earnings and different things. But the fact of the matter is that grocery store prices are up and we all feel that pinch. And so when you are throwing food away, it is like throwing money down the drain.
For
and,
sure.
you know, none of us want to do that. So one of the, probably the biggest, well, I'm going to give you two really big tips and then I can give you a couple more tips if we have time. But the first tip is to plan your meals. So don't go to the grocery store without a weekly plan for your meals, or if a week is too long, like for me, it's too long. I'm good with about 4 days because life happens, you know. So I have, say, 4 days worth of meals that I've mapped out. It could be, you know, sometimes I do it on my calendar. Sometimes it's just in my head. And you need to have a grocery list when you go to the store and be realistic about what you'll be able to consume before your next grocery trip. But have a plan for your meals. Look on the calendar and see, okay, you know, how and where will you be eating breakfast, lunch, dinner? If you have some meals out or there's a bunch of meetings going on, know that you're not going to have time to be cooking up big meals. So have a meal plan. And then secondly, before you go to the store to shop or order online, shop what you have in your kitchen. Go into your pantry or your cupboards. What do you have in there? Mm-hmm. What has been there for a while? And really go in there and pull things out from the back. Same thing with your refrigerator. Same thing with your freezer. What is in there that needs to be used up? I was at a family member's house a few weeks ago, and they have a young child. And very busy couple, there were four bottles of A1 steak sauce in the refrigerator. Two were opened and two were unopened. Now, they did not need to have four bottles of steak sauce in the fridge. I'm in the vegetable crisper, and there's a nice bag of washed and trimmed green beans, but then way in the back was a bag of the same. However, those green beans had liquefied. And you know, nobody likes looking at that. So it's a little bit of a job, but, you know, you don't want to overshop. You don't want to have too much in your fridge or in your pantry or in your freezer so that you can't see the forest for the trees. So be realistic about what you are buying. Another tip, if I may, is to understand so-called food expiration dates. They are there to benefit the manufacturer and not the consumer. Most people think that they are set up, that there's a law by, you know, the FDA or the USDA about some of these dates. No, the manufacturer just decides what they want to put down as dates, and many of them are, you don't have, just don't pay attention to them. So, and look, and you know, there's, you can, you know, find, I'm sure, these types of things online, but there's a difference between sell by date, best by date. What are some of the other ones? There's
use by date.
Yeah. Use by. So, and they're primarily really for food quality and not food safety. If you think back to the recent, so within, say, the last 10 years, recent foodborne illnesses and food recalls, they are for fresh produce, unfortunately. So, so use, you know, use your senses to decide if something is still good. For my husband and myself, we buy regular dairy milk. I buy a gallon at a time. It's cost effective. We're able to consume it. But there have been times, it seems more recently lately, that the date has been fine. Like the, you know, use by date or sell by, whatever it is way off into the future. But I open the cap and it smells and it tastes funny. So you need to use your common sense and use your nose and your taste buds.
Absolutely. The smell check is like the number one. Does it smell funny? Is there something growing on it? No.
Yeah.
Well, that's, so my dad, he has a friend. They work next to a place that goes around and picks up all the, like, basically expiring today food or expired, and drops it off at pantries and local shelters and things like that. Sometimes they have, the two girls that do this, they have so much that they've gone to all the pantries and they still have bags of food. So they'll give it to my dad and his friend and people they know. But you're right. You know, some of it says expired today or yesterday, but you'll eat it and it tastes perfectly fine. And, but it's all going to waste because it has that date, you know, and the grocery stores have to get rid of it.
Right. Well, and then, you know, and I have another tip, and this could be useful for a single person, for a couple, for a family of five, you know, no matter what place you are in your life. And that is to dedicate one day a week to cleaning out the refrigerator and consuming, you know, things that are that need to be consumed so that you don't put them in the back, forget about them, and then you have to throw them away. And this could be the day before you go to the grocery store. And so let's say you have some leftover meat, could be leftover chicken, could be leftover beef, you know, whatever it is. And you have some leftover veggies, you have some rice, you have some quinoa, you have something, whatever it is, you can create a, you know, so-called girl dinner, or we'll call it a boy dinner, you know, just put everything on a plate. If you're a single person or maybe a couple, if you have a family, I used to do this when my kids were little. What did I used to call it? I used to forget what the name was, but I would just take all the leftovers, put it out on the island and everybody would grab a plate. It was like a smorgasbord and people would take what they wanted and they loved it. The kids just loved it. And it's kind of fun and you use things up and then also make use of your freezer when things are, let's say you've made more, say rice than you need, or maybe you've doubled the recipe of rice on purpose, which I oftentimes do. So whatever you haven't consumed and you know you're not going to consume over the next few days, put it in a freezer container, label it, label the date. Very important to label because you think you can remember what it was, but oh no.
So many times you pulled out of the freezer and you're like, what is this? Right. You know, like what is this?
Got to get that. Make sure you have one of those markers. Now this is pink, but a nice black one or brown one. And then again, go through your freezer every so often and pull things out and use things up.
No, I love that. That's like, I think, I don't know why, like I like setting these like goals like that. And so my goal every week is I want the refrigerator empty. Right.
Wow.
Because
wow.
like, because we eat a whole foods diet, right? So it's like very much like a plant-based diet. So that food isn't going to last. It's not going to last a couple of weeks. So if like, if we hit the nail on the head that like on Friday we are finishing and it's like empty, other than like some water, you know, milk, you know, stuff like that,
yes,
that's in there, but like food.
Staples.
Like,
you do need some staples in there that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like not like condiments and stuff like that,
right,
but
right,
like
right,
the
right.
Big shelves where like, typically you have, you know, we've got, you know, we keep the bananas in the fridge just because like we're in Florida, there's flies and stuff like that that get on those. And we do have like yogurts are still in there, like some of the grab and go things. But it's like, that's like, I don't know. I like having like, here's my step that I can look for. And so it's like, I want to open that and it's like empty. That way when we go grocery shopping, it's like, okay, now we know that that was how much food we needed to buy. You know, like,
yeah, wow. That's very impressive. I don't think I've ever met anybody like you, who does that. And you know what, and that's a good time when it's pretty cleaned out, take a dish rag or a sponge and wipe it down real quick. That's the time to do it.
Yeah.
Real quick.
It doesn't mean I hit the goal every time. It's just like,
no, I know.
What my goal is. Because like I like action items. I like, if I go for this, it means that I did that really well. And I can learn from that recipe, or I can learn from what did go well, what didn't go well, what made way more than we need or not enough, you know, and then it's like, well, we're looking in the freezer tonight.
Progress, not perfection.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the, and I'll speak on my family, one of the, you know, I think being realistic, what you said is really important, because I will set goals for my family. I'm going to cook this, this, and this. And then life happens and kids and you can't cook and you can't do this. And so it's, I think one thing for us is like trying to not get those convenient foods. So that way I do have to, because then the fresh food will sit there and it's like, oh gosh, I have 20 minutes before she wakes up from her nap. Like I'll just grab this out, put it in the oven, versus like taking that time to cut up the vegetables and fruit. And I like to do, when I can, a lot of food prep on Sundays, for the week, for those days. But I think that's one of our biggest barriers is like life gets behind you during the day. And if you're not prepared and you don't have everything cut up and really busy, like naturally you're just going to go for what's ever fast or order out, you know, either one.
Well, you know what? Even if you have a convenience item or you go through the drive-through or go to a quick service restaurant and, you know, bring some food home or eat it there, it's okay. And plus you can take some, you know, make sure you always have a salad or have some fruit with it or both. I mean, you can take the convenience item and add some fresh foods and you're still doing well with your family. You know, we women tend to beat ourselves up because we're not perfect and we're not doing things the way that we think we should, or we compare ourselves. You know, the worst thing you want to do is compare yourself to an unattainable ideal. So you have to be realistic, and there's certain times in your life when good enough is good enough for you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, good enough is like, is everything, right? As long as you're shooting for something, then you're going to be further along than you were. Right? Like, so that's, I mean, I like the phrase I use in my head is shoot for the stars. If you hit the moon, be happy. Right? Like, you hit the moon. Like, who cares if you didn't land on a star? Like, you're further than you were back there. So,
like, we also, yeah, as I was gonna say, Dr. Jess and I also had a professor that, her name is Dr. Chase, and she, just had a lot of good sayings. And one of the things that really stuck with me and that Jess and I always talk about is she would always say, a little bit of something's better than a whole lot of nothing. And so adding just a little bit of something healthy is better than just avoiding, you know, as you were saying, if it is takeout, add a salad. You're adding that little bit of something is better than just kind of like scratching the whole thing and being like, I'm just sort of eating out.
What a wise professor, and very smart of you to remember it.
Oh yeah, that phrase has gotten me through so many different things. Right?
Yes.
You're out on that run and you're like, it's hot and it's you're slow. You're like, I should just turn around. And it's like, oh, this something's better than a whole lot of nothing. It's you're fine. Like
teaching yourself grace.
Absolutely.
Always like
and teaching yourself grace and allowing yourself grace. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, and food is just one of those like where I think people get so like it's the all or nothing mindset. I'm gonna only like follow this particular diet or this particular time where I'm allowed to eat or whatever it might be. And when it gets so rigid that it doesn't allow for mess ups, that's where it really affects you negatively, honestly, you know, because now you actually feel like you're failing. When really you probably were hitting at 80%, which is great, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like just kind of taking some of that rigidity off and having some just like goals that you can shoot for. That's just like a visual goal, a tangible goal, a 30 foods in a week, right? Like eat a bunch of different colors. Like all of these are just different like ways of thinking that are like, okay, that gives me something to shoot for. And as long as I'm kind of within these parameters, then awesome, right?
That's
So
right.
better
Very
than
well said. Yep.
Better than not. Yeah, I'm just really cheap and I hate wasting money. So that's why like
Same
my
here.
goal is like
Same here.
when I open the fridge at the end of the week and I'm like, yeah, it's an empty fridge. It means like, all right, we didn't waste money this week. So
when you're throwing away food, you're wasting money in two ways. One, you're wasting the money you spent on it. But two, prices are set by supply and demand. So if everyone's buying more food than they can eat, it's going to increase the prices of food. Whereas if you bought just what you needed, it would decrease the demand a little bit.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
That's a good point.
And I think it's a journey to figure out how much do you need. That's a journey, right? What does that serving size look like? What does this like when it's the first time you're making a recipe, you don't really know how many servings you're going to get. Like it'll say like make six and you're like, that was four. or make six and you're like, that was eight, you know? So it's like, and when you're constantly trying new things, you're going to kind of have this like wax and wane. And that's okay. Right. Like,
no, that's very true. You know, at the beginning of the pandemic, my husband ordered a couple of cookbooks, and they're high-end cookbooks. You know, if I said the name, you would all recognize it, but I'm not going to. Anyway, they're wonderful and they're restaurant quality cookbooks. And so he decided he was going to do some cooking, and the recipes typically serve four, but guess what? They serve at least six, if not eight. And so we have had to make those calculations and make those adjustments in terms of, I mean, he'll still follow the recipe as written, but we know that we can get three meals just for the two of us rather than two meals.
Yeah. And then that's like, that's all part of the learning curve. So now that's like
yes.
less of those like, some of those like random amounts you have left over that you put it in the freezer, does it feed two? Does it only feed one? You know, like you get those like,
well, again, that's where your clean out, or it could be, you know, lunch the next day or, you know, whenever, just have a bit of this and then a bit of this and, you know, round things out with that. And It all works out that way. That way you're achieving your goal, Dr. Jess, of having a nice cleaned out refrigerator.
Absolutely. I always have some eggs in there, whip up some eggs and like add it to whatever's left over and stir it up and there we go.
Right. Oh, absolutely. So I'm Catholic, and Catholics avoid meat during Lent, and that's where a frittata or an omelet comes in, but let's call it a frittata, where you take, bits and pieces of leftover vegetables, potatoes, even, you could take some vegetables that are in the freezer, just frozen vegetables, throw them into eggs, and put it in the oven and let it set and while you bake it, and take it out and slice it up, and absolutely delicious. And you're using up bits of items that you might not ordinarily. And there you're getting in a variety of plant foods. And speaking of eggs, eggs are one of those foods in terms of the, gosh, I think it's sell by date on the carton of eggs. Those you can, for the most part, disregard those dates. Eggs will last weeks and actually going on a few months past those dates. So if you see eggs on sale every once in a while, they're usually a loss leader right before Easter, but oftentimes they, you might even have a store special. You went once, maybe was it 6, 8 months ago? I was at a local store and they had a package of 18 eggs for 99 cents. So
Oh,
I'm like, oh my
nice.
gosh, I can't. And this was shortly after the price of eggs was, what, $6 a dozen. So I just bought the one package of 18 because I didn't want to overdo it. But I thought, I can't pass this up. And eggs are such an inexpensive source of quality protein. And eggs are a protein food that you can eat for breakfast, lunch, dinner, or even as a snack. If you have a few hard or soft boiled eggs in the fridge, you can, pop one in. What I'll sometimes do when I am at the tail end of a carton of eggs, let's say I have two or even three eggs, I will either soft or hard boil all of them, and I'll eat one, say for breakfast, with some toast, some whole grain toast, and then I have two in the fridge, and then I'll have them, they're cooked, they're ready to go. I don't have to do anything. I peel them before I put them in the fridge, and I wrap them in some plastic wrap. Or actually, I'm trying to avoid plastic wrap now. I've been using like little glass bowls, so I have a little glass bowl, and then I put a matching glass bowl on top of it, and that way I'm not using plastic, and I can see through, and then I can just pull one out when I want one.
No, that's awesome. I love a hard-boiled egg as a snack. But the key is like you do have to peel it before you put it in the fridge. Otherwise, it's just like to me, it's too much of a barrier. Like I'm
Correct,
not
correct,
gonna peel it. I'm hungry.
correct.
I can't think straight. I just need to
Right,
eat.
right.
It's like it's awful.
And real fresh eggs are harder to peel than eggs that have been around for a few weeks. A little tip.
I've noticed that. So thank you, Christine, so much for coming on. We really, really appreciate the knowledge that you have to share. Like we love talking about nutrition and having people that know way more than we do about nutrition share. And hopefully we can help people that listen just learn these tidbits about maybe not it's about a diet, maybe it is about lifestyle, and then that's actually how it becomes sustainable change and that it's imperfect, right? So
That's
really
right. Well,
imperfect.
it's been my pleasure, and each of you have a lot of valuable information to share, not only today, but with your other speakers. So thank you for what you do. I think you're doing a great job. Keep it up.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We try. It's actually been such a journey along the way. The more we interview others, like we're learning stuff, which is awesome. And then, getting to share that information. It's like, hey, it's not the flashiest stuff. We're not going to say it's just do this one step and your life is great. It's like, really, it's just about like, how do we think and arm yourself with knowledge and then use that to make decisions that hopefully will serve you for a long period of time in a
Right.
positive way with whatever
That's
that
right.
might be.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for more episodes that we have coming up. You know, we've got all sorts of different types of topics that we cover. If you find this information to be helpful, you know, like follow us so that more of that information pops up in your feeds. And then also share it with a friend. If you like think like, hey, so-and-so would really benefit from learning about this, share with them, not in a judgmental way, but like, hey, I listened to this and it was, I found it to be helpful. Dr. Byman and I do that all the time for each other. She like send me something and I'm like, oh, that was either hysterical or like very educational. It's one of the two. Because we need that like hysterical stuff too. So share it, share the knowledge, spread it. That's the whole point. You know, arm each other with more knowledge than you had before. And this world could really be a better place. All right. Bye, everybody.